And it's a wonderful thing to be joyful and to tarry in that garden with the Lord, amen. And it certainly is a blessing. And as we've done a few now in this series of People of the Bible, and it's been a huge blessing to, you know, we know about these people and everything, but as I've been really studying in depth about them, it's just been a huge blessing to my life. I was reading the other day of Jephthah, and then I read of Elijah, and it was in his message, sitting under that juniper tree, you know, and times of sadness or the blues, you know, there's three little things in the verse there that he got some rest. He allowed God to feed him, and he allowed God to minister to him, and that's the key points in any believer's life, is to do those things. But this morning we come to a man called Thomas, and I've entitled that message, Missing in Action. Missing in Action. Now, there is a term called MIA, which means that very thing, missing in action. And as I was studying, it was supposed to have started around about the 1940s, and it was used by the military for when one of their men or women had not returned from a battle or a work they had to do. But it's also used figuratively of someone or something that's notably missing, inactive, or absent. And that too works out to MIA. And there are many believers today who could be described as MIA. Amen? They are missing, they're inactive, or they're absent from the services of the Lord. They're not where they should be. And for parents, you need to show your children how important the Lord is, and you need to gather together with the saints so that they have something that they can see and hold on to and bond together with. And we find this the case here with this person this morning. And for many believers, they're not doing what they should be doing, and they're not where they should be. Now, if you look at our text this morning, John 20, 19 to 25, I'll read it again so that we get this into our hearts and minds. And it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Oh, what a text that is. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that we'd still the thoughts of this world away from our hearts and minds just for this time as we come to rejoice in you, singing praise and worship. We've readied our hearts and minds through the singing of good sound doctrine. And Lord, we now ask that your Holy Spirit would minister your truth to us through the word. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see in our text that after the crucifixion of the disciples, they met together and they were fearful of the Jewish authorities, and someone's missing. Someone's missing from this assembly. Now, it wasn't Judas, because Judas had already betrayed the Lord, and he'd been taken into another world, amen, a dark world, and he was taken by the whipping and the scourging of his own conscience for what he did. We looked at Pilate in this series as well, and we couldn't expect him to be in this place with the disciples, because he had the opportunity to become a friend of the Lord, but his own interests got the better of him, and he chose the fellowship of Caesar above that of the fellowship of Christ. It wouldn't be Caiaphas either. He'd been in the presence of the Lord, but all he did was shout out that Jesus was blasphemous. And he, and neither any of the mob that was with him, would have been there for shouting that blasphemy so loud it deafened their conscience to the word of the God and the Spirit at work in their hearts concerning Christ. Now, none of these were missing from the disciples' meeting. Now, you wouldn't expect any of those ones to be there anyway. One was dead, another wiped his hands of the Lord, and the other was, well, it's good riddance to this person. He was a troublemaker. Who could it be? Who was the one missing in action? Who was the one notably missing, inactive, and absent from the place he should have been in? Verse 24 of our text tells us, but Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. It was Thomas who was missing in action. Thomas was expected to be there. You know, I say that because he was a member of the disciples. He was a member of their group. He was one of the 12. He belonged to the inner circle. He should have been with his fellow believers. And his fellow believers had every right to expect him to be there with them. He was their friend. He was their brother in Christ. He was well known. But hey, where is he? He's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. You know, what a sad day it is for a congregation when its own members begin to stay away and absent themselves from its services. What a sad day for any church when those who make up the body of Christ can be counted on to come to church when there's a great big lunch, when they're having a picnic, or having some sort of meeting, but they can't be counted on to be in church when the interests of God's kingdom are at stake, when the reaching out for the lost is being planned, when the preaching of the gospel of the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. Where are they? When the Son of God goes forth to war, where are these people? Why are they missing in action? You know, we wonder why the world today has no respect for the Lord, that the world thinks that the Lord has nothing to offer. And I'm talking about churches that preach the truth. I'm not talking about churches that act like the world and bring on all the world's teachings and all the world's activities to make people feel good about themselves. I'm talking about churches who stand on the truth of God's word. We wonder why they have no respect for the Lord, that the church means nothing. And by that I say there's no real power at work. We wonder why the world sees nothing more of the church, the true church, other than a joke, dead and boring. And they laugh. Why? Because the people in the congregation have no respect for the Lord or for themselves. They're missing in action. Come on, is that true or not? Don't go quiet on me. Listen, I want to promise from everyone here today to love me at the end of this message, amen? Because this is just the truth. This is just the truth. They're missing in action because the pursuit of the world, the pleasures of the world, the entertainment of the world has taken the place of the pursuit of God. And if they're not here on a Sunday, I don't know how much they're pursuing God during the week either. They're missing not only in action, I'll tell you something, they're missing out on the action. They're missing out on it. What do you mean? I'm glad you asked me. Look what happened. Take note very carefully when it was Thomas was missing in action. Look at verse 24. Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Of all the services, what a tragedy to have missed this one. Here we have a small group of the Lord's disciples. They're meeting behind closed doors. They're burdened by sorrow. They're filled with fear. But the Lord turns up, and the one most bitter, the one most sad, wasn't with them. Oh, listen, he would have been there if he had any idea how great and entertaining the service may have been, he would have been there then. If he had thought for one moment Jesus was going to turn up, he would have turned up. He would have turned up with bells on. But no, he doubted. And no doubt he would have expected to be just another dull and dreary service. It didn't matter who was there. Jesus wouldn't be. He would have expected Peter, I'd say, and John, James, Andrew, all them to be there. Or they would have been reminiscing on the past, as people do on those sort of occasions. The Lord has been crucified and buried. They've been thinking of the dreams they had and of the kingdom, the decisions they'd made. Remember, we dropped all and just followed him, and what an amazing time we spent with him. We've seen him do miracles. We heard words we'd never heard before. People were amazed at all he had done. But there's nothing now to relieve the pain and the agony of today. They have no hope on the horizon for tomorrow. There'll be no dawning sunrise now. Nothing but black skies to look forward to. So I think I won't go to that service today. But there's no sadness. There's nothing dark and dreary about this service. It wasn't a service of crying over what might have been. This was a service that made the future shine. This was a service that brought hope and possibilities to the believers' lives. Wonderful possibilities. It was a service filled with a present joy and glad tidings. It was a glorious service because Jesus came. He came that day, and listen, he still comes today. He comes no matter how dreary you may think a service is. He comes to those who are hungry. He comes to those who are thirsty. He comes to those whose hearts want to gather together and expect the presence of the Lord. He still comes today. And if the presence of the Lord isn't real to you, that's not God's problem. That's not the church's problem. That's your problem, because you're missing in action. He still comes today for those who yearn for him, those who desire him, those who want to make him welcome in their lives. Jesus Christ comes and he stands in their midst. And for that reason, I could not be missing from meeting together with the people of God, regardless of the circumstances. I want to be there when the Lord comes. I want to see his invited guests. And he gives the invitation. He says, come. Who wouldn't want to be there? Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Why? Why was Thomas missing in action? Why wasn't he there to receive the hope and the inspiration that he probably more than all the other disciples needed? Well, first of all, I don't think Thomas was indifferent. But there are many people like that today. They keep away from church services and they keep away from the fellowship of the saints because of one thing only: there's a real lack of commitment to the Lord. Oh, you can't say that about me. Yes, I can. There's a real lack of commitment. Do you know why? Because on the list of 1 to 10 of things to do, he's about number 5. That's where he is. I've got sport to play. I've got hobbies to keep. Someone or something is more important than gathering together and praising and worshiping God. Their attention is focused on thousands of other activities and they're totally uninterested in the things of the Lord. And that's just the truth, brothers and sisters. There's no heart desire for the work of God on this earth. As I said, someone or something has their heart And that's who or what they have surrendered themselves to. And if the Lord can fit in with that, then they'll praise the Lord. But not until they do. But I don't think Thomas was indifferent. I also don't think Thomas was missing in action because he found satisfaction somewhere else. Because we see he wasn't a satisfied man. He wasn't a joyful man. In fact, he was sadder than most at what had happened. He hadn't turned away from the Lord to satisfy his soul like the prodigal son did on the husks of this world. He didn't leave the Lord because he had his needs met in some activity outside of the Lord. He didn't have his thirst quenched at some other fountain like many Christians do. They'll drink the well of worldliness, but they won't drink the well of everlasting life. He was missing because he had lost hope. You see, he believed that Jesus was dead, and that was the end of what the Lord had started and called him to do. What was right and holy and good has ended. And what was wrong is now eternal. Day turned to night and there's no more going back now. The Lord's dead. He's dead. What's the point of going with the other disciples into the upper room? If there's any hope of all of seeing there, I'd be there. But no, he's dead. Oh, look, you don't understand. I saw Judas kiss him. I saw the soldiers scourge him. I saw the soldiers put a crown of thorns and press it into his head. I saw his hands and feet nailed to a cross. I saw midday turn into midnight. I felt the earth quake. I heard the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I saw the spilt blood. Listen, he's dead. What's the point of going to the service? He's dead. And that's how many treat the Lord. He's dead to them, but they're alive to the world. But what did Thomas miss? He missed the awesome privilege of seeing Jesus. The one who had victory over death, hell, and the grave. Thomas missed what 1 Timothy 1:10 tells us. Our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what he missed. You see, if Thomas had seen Jesus in this meeting, he would have known the certainty of everlasting life. You say, well, does this happen in every service? Listen, all I've got to say to that sort of thing is, it should be, we are a church that preaches Christ crucified, buried, risen forevermore. Did you come this morning expecting to hear and see Jesus? Or did you just come because there's nothing else to do today? It fitted in with your activities. Because you could have come, you should have come expecting him. Because he's not here for you today, then maybe you just think he's dead. Look what else he missed in verses 19 and 21. He missed the gift of peace. Peace be unto you, he said to them. That's a gift Thomas needed, was peace. He's full of doubt and fear and unbelief. He could have had that peace that passed all understanding if he had been there. And he would have had a greater understanding of what the Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He also missed being recommissioned by Jesus for the Lord's work. Verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. See, all the disciples were there with there was no goal. Christ was dead and buried. But Jesus recommissioned them again. He said, I'm sending you back out with the goal of reaching the world with the gospel. But Thomas missed this great blessing because why? Read it with me. he was not there when the Jesus came. I'm going to get you to say that next time. He also missed something real special in that service. Look at verse 22. And when he had said, this is Jesus, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He missed receiving the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on them. Oh, how close he came to these disciples in that service. How near he was to them. Their hearts would have been warmed. Their hopes would have been revived. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And Thomas missed out because what? Let's say it. He was not with them when Jesus came. Can I ask, were you once active in the church? Were you once a willing Christian who loved to fellowship and encourage others to take a part in the service of God? But bit by bit, you've gone from a Christian willing and alive in Christ to one that slid away. You've moved on to stranger places, worldly activities. You've thrown your life in with a lifeless lot of people. You've missed the fellowship of the past. And today you're no longer found as a regular worshiper who can encourage and uplift other people in living in the presence of the Lord. You're missing something. And it's not that you're being deceived. The truth is, you're deceiving yourself. Because as God's saints gather together, God still meets with them. And seeing him brings new joy. It brings fresh hope. It brings that perfect peace into our lives. See, there's a new, there's an exciting purpose to life that the world cannot give. It's a life living for the Lord in the presence of the Lord. You can't get that anywhere else. You see, Jesus, seeing him, renews us with a power for the battles of life. And we become, and we can say, Romans 8:37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen, if you drive around in a car long enough and the oil runs out, there's no more car. You've got to have your car serviced. Is that right? Yeah. It's very quiet this morning. I hope everyone's okay. If you don't put any oil in, it's going to blow up. You want oil for your Christian life? Come and be a part of the fellowship. Because the oil of that world soon runs out. But the oil of joy in the morning from the Lord Jesus Christ never runs out. Missing Jesus is to miss that all that's worthwhile in this life. Here's a truth, and I cannot deny it, is that if I have Jesus, if his presence is a joyful reality to my heart, then what else matters? Honestly, what else matters? Nothing else matters. There is nothing to fear. But if I'm not in his presence, if I'm missing out on him, then my life is nothing more than a disappointment. Remember Daniel. Daniel's in the lion's den. Now, those lions weren't pets. They weren't well fed. They were in a lion's den for the fact to eat people. That's what they were there for. They were hungry, vicious. And here's Daniel in the lion's den. He's having the peace and the joy of God. Why? Because he's got the joy of God's presence. But here's Darius, the king, in his palace, with everything that goes with the palace. He's got all the good food. He's got all the luxuries. He's got all the people serving him. And his life is nothing but restlessness and wretchedness. A life of worry. Because God wasn't in the palace. God was in the lion's den. Amen? That's where he was. And Thomas, because he missed receiving, he also lost the privilege and the great privilege of giving. You see, when all the other disciples left that service, there was excitement in their heart. There was a brightness in their eyes. There was a spring in their step. They're standing tall. And you say, well, where's the verse that says that? I can tell you. See, they had a message to give. Verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. See, the Lord gave them a work to do, and they were excited about that. And Thomas hadn't received anything, so Thomas had nothing to give. He was a disappointment to his Lord. And for a whole week, he walked around in doubt, fear, and worry. He mistrusted his Lord when it was his opportunity and privilege to have walked in fellowship with him and be sure of his nearness, be sure of his reality, just as he was sure of his own reality. Because, tell me, he was not with them when Jesus came. He missed the privilege of helping his fellow disciples. I don't know about you, I'm not here to get. I'm here to give. Isn't that right? That's what we're here. We're not here to get, we're here to give. We get fed the truth of God's word and we want to give out and help people. Listen, what a strength, what an encouragement Thomas could have been to the other people. How they remember that there would have been those he come into contact with who hadn't seen the Lord, and how their faith would have grown as he went around saying, no, listen, I've seen him, I've been in his presence, I've been with the other disciples, we've all been with him. Don't fear, don't worry. And of all the people, they would have seen Thomas with joy on his face. But no, Thomas, because he wasn't there to receive, missed the true joy of giving. And there's a truth that we need to get a hold of. And that is, and dads, I want you to listen carefully. I cannot rob myself without robbing you. You understand that? Say amen. Simple as that. Mums, it goes for you too. I cannot starve myself spiritually without helping to starve you spiritually. No one can sin alone. Whatever I do to lower my walk with the Lord, I help to lower your walk with the Lord. Thomas missed a double blessing, that of receiving and giving, because he was not with them when Jesus came. Now, tradition tells us that in spite of his failure, Thomas ended up dying as a martyr for his love and devotion for the Lord, and we'll get to that in a moment. But how was he brought to the joy of usefulness that comes from certainty? Because if you're uncertain in life, worry, fearful and doubtful, you're useless, not useful. You see, men and women who have doubts, especially about those in their home, suffer the torments and pangs of hell. See those who doubt God, how can they say that they have a prize worth obtaining? How can they say that? How can they say, I have a God who with him nothing is impossible, and all the time doubting he can do anything? First thing, Thomas wasn't proud of his doubts. They weren't a blessing to him. And the reason I say that today is because there are many today who are proud of their doubts. All my fears, my worries, my doubts. In other words, it means something to them. Let me tell you, no one's richer for their doubts. And when men and women have doubts about those in their home, as we said, they do suffer the torments of hell. See, Thomas doubted, but he wasn't proud of it. He wanted to be made sure that the one he loved was alive forevermore. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said, and we've seen the Lord. And I'll give Thomas credit for this. At least Thomas went to the right people with his doubts. He didn't go to strangers that he didn't know, like many do, as we all can often do. You see, it's easy to succumb to fear and doubt and right away turn to the fellowship of people who aren't believers. Let's find some worldly psychologist or some worldly psychiatrist. Let them feed me. I know, I'll ring someone who won't bring God into it, then I won't feel so bad about it. See, people look to worldly counsel, worldly books, worldly teachers. And you know what they do? They strengthen our doubts. They strengthen our fears instead of relieving them. And Thomas didn't fall for that. At least he went to the other disciples who after such an amazing service said to him, we have seen the Lord. How did Thomas answer that? What did this doubter have to say about that? Did he say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that's music to my ears? No, look what he says in verse 25. He says, hang on a minute. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. So what's Thomas saying? He's telling, he says, listen, nothing you guys show me or can do to me will make me believe. Then what happens? Look at verse 26. And after 8 days again, so 8 days have passed since that, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Absolute certainty has now taken hold of Thomas's life. And all he can say is my Lord and my God. Verse 28. That's all he can say. You see, he was a doubter, but he was willing to give himself a chance. A chance to know the truth. And this time he's there in the service with the disciples. And look what happens. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. For Thomas, midnight turns to midday. Verse 27, then he saith to Thomas, as the Lord, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believe me. And what else could he say but my Lord and my God? What else could he say? And this same certainty is yours and mine. It's our privilege to have Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life for our lives. John 7:17, there's nothing surer. And he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know. He shall know. You see, if you're true to what you believe at this time, if you follow the amount of light you have been given, if you are loyal to what you believe, then God will shed more light on your life and the circumstances in your life and bring you from fear to faith. But you've got to be loyal. You can't be like Thomas, who was missing when Jesus turned up. He was not with them when Jesus came. You've got to be loyal. You've got to be certain. You've got to have no doubts. There's a man of times past, a great old preacher, Horace Bushnell. When he was at Yale University in the very early 1800s, he felt he was hindering a great revival going through that university at that time, and he didn't want to get in the way of that, even though he was an unbeliever at that stage. He felt he could not come out on Christ's side because he didn't believe in Christ. Yet within, it's as if he heard a voice or his conscience say to him, "What then do you believe, Horace?" And he thought, "Well, I believe there's an absolute difference between right and wrong." His conscience said to him, "Have you ever put yourself on the right to follow it, regardless of the consequence?" I have not," he answered, "but I will." So he kneeled there that day, and he went back to his room, and kneeled there and dedicated himself to the service of right. He surrendered himself to the Lord that day and to the Lord's service forevermore. And after preaching and teaching the gospel in a place called Hartford, Connecticut, for 47 years, he said, and I quote, "Better than I know any man in Hartford, I know Jesus Christ." And he tells of a time he was overtaken with darkness, and he was only very young. He's some 15 kilometers from home. The night was so black, he got completely lost. And after a few hours, he knew he was somewhere near home, but he was in a forest, and he decided, "I'll just sleep here the night." So he hopped off his horse and laid down. As soon as he got on the ground, the thunder started, the lightning was flashing. He knew a storm was about to come, and it did. And he got back on his horse, and he continued on in the darkness, not knowing where he was going. And it was well in the early hours of the morning, he saw the tiniest speck of light a little way off in the distance. It was so small, nothing like a sunrise, just a very tiny speck. So I said, "Oh, I'm going to follow that light," he said, and he followed it. And he headed towards it because that's all he could see in what he described as the black darkness. That's how dark it was. And after a while, he discovered that light was shining from a window in his own home, of all places. He also found, when he went in the door, an anxious mother standing behind that light waiting for her boy to come home. And he said he didn't have much light to begin with, only the smallest speck, but as I followed it, it led me home. Horace Bushnell only had a little bit of light but made it home. Thomas also only had a little bit of light, but both of them were willing to be true to the light that they had. And being true, they ended up standing in the fullness of light. And that's as true today as it was in Thomas's day. "If any man will do his will, he shall know." And God's calling today not to doubt his will for your life. That he is not a dead God buried in a tomb. He is a living, risen Savior. And he doesn't want us to be like Thomas, who was not with them when Jesus came. And if we will trust him and be loyal to the light he shows, he'll give us more. And we will be taken all the way home to rest safely in his arms. No doubts, no fears, and no worries. Don't fall into the trap. He was not with them when Jesus came. Continue on in the fellowship with Christ and with his saints, and you will make it home. And what a blessing your life will be. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the wonderful truth, Lord, that you're not a dead God. You're a living Savior. And that you meet with us daily as we meet with you, as we expect you to be at work in our life. But Lord, if we're going to turn the light off, if we're going to let the circumstances and the ways of this world crowd you out of our lives, what else can we expect but fears and worries and uncertainties? But Lord, you're a risen Lord. And we can be certain of the fact that when you appear, we will see you as you are. And forever in glory, we'll be singing those praises and living in your presence. And what a great opportunity you've given for us to get ready for that today. Father, we thank you, praise you, and help us always to remember that missing in action means we're going to miss out on the action. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray in his precious name. Amen.